A big thanks to all our sponsors. Comic Bento.
Comic Bento.
Comic Bento.
Comic Bento.
Comic Bento.
Comic Bento is a subscription service that brings a box of comics to your door every month. Check out our website, thetalkinggeekpod.com. Click the link, subscribe, and wait for your comics to hit the mailbox.
I had balls float in wet green grass. I got a chainsaw motor that's filled with rain. But when it sings like Bach, the eyes all bulge. And when the pink sun drops, the eyelids fold while I'm in deep REM sleep. Or twilight zones, I take a freight elevator, better fast forward. I get to grind these teeth and peek through time. If I can bring things back, then feed back wild and wet. I saw the future.
Hey, this is V the Fried Nugget.
Hey, this is Tim the Member.
Hey, guys, this is Q the Face.
Hey, this is Kenny the Bear with the underscore in front of it.
Hey, this is Pedro the Air Horn.
And this is the Talking Geek. And we are recording.
Hey!
Hey! Fuck you, Lewis.
Yes, chicken.
Yummy chicken.
The most delicious of meals.
All right.
Not the chicken.
It's actually the chicken is the most delicious of meals.
Oh, my God. We've already started. I haven't even done the intro yet.
Yeah.
Welcome everybody to the Talking Geek. Thank you for listening to your part talk, part sass, all things geek podcast. Woo! As usual, we are a part of the Geek Bro Network, which also has podcasts like Mount Geekmore, Shiver, Mamas and Merlot, Comedy Fitness,
yep.
Zeros on Heroes.
There you go.
God, so many fucking
R's.
So many R's. Did you say Shiver?
What's up, bro? I did say Shiver.
Yeah, he's a Shiver.
So
what's
many,
up,
and I
bro?
Didn't write them down this time. I should have written
Bruh.
Them down.
Yeah.
Bruh.
For a list of all of the podcasts that are on the Geek Bro Network, just visit geekbro.net. And there you go. We are going right into this because we're doing an Ever Geek episode, is what we like to call these. So we're not going to do any geek news or anything like that. We're just going to get straight into today's topic, which today's topic is our favorite rom-coms. And I say that to really piss off my wife because she hates that term, but she also is the kind of person.
I think I hear a cat vomiting in the corner of this room.
She's also the kind of person who says words like "bae" and "cray"
and "y'all"
yes. and "y'all."
She's an infection on all of us.
But then hates rom com because of its shortening romantic comedy. Doesn't make any sense. But that's the fried nugget, all in a nutshell.
Yeah, it's fried stupid. Fried.
Oh my God! I just heard a sultry voice. Who was that, by the way?
Oh,
this sultry voice is one Pedro Cortez.
Oh, hello, Pedro.
Oh, so sassy, so smooth.
And I'm over here. My name is Kenny. You know who I am? You are beast.
I look like velvet, but then you touch it as sandpaper.
It's sandpaper.
And of course, I'm cute. So we're gonna go into it. All right. So
rom-coms. We're not,
yeah, rom-coms. Romantic comedies, if you will, if you're one of those
people. If you're one of those old-timey people.
You gotta call it a romance. Back in our day, we just called them romantic comedies.
Yeah, but if you wanted to, you want to make a couple bucks, you put one of these out with somebody who's famous. You used to put Matthew McConaughey until he got in a Lincoln, and then
I hate those fucking commercials.
Until he got into a Lincoln, or until he became part of the Dallas Buyers Club, and then all of a sudden he started.
See, I would say it's less Dallas Buyers Club and more.
He became great.
Time is a flat circle. I'm not saying he's bad, but I'm saying
time is a flat circle.
Well, oh basically, within a year, I think it was like within a year, he did Dallas Buyers Club, then he did
True Detective,
and then like a year after that, he did.
Interstellar,
yeah. Which that trio right there is like, good, you broke your fucking mold. Now,
yes.
Don't go back to doing romantic comedies.
No, it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen.
He needs money.
No, I think he's done with romantic comedies for now.
He got his Oscar, so he can basically say, fuck you.
But his car commercials are so infuriating, and the most recent one is that he drives the car onto a boat. The car is on a boat. And then he drives it off the boat.
Why?
Because he's like on a ferry that's taking his boat across like a body of water, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then he gets in the car, still says nothing, and then as they lower the ramp, he just drives off.
And then there's one where he's waiting at a fucking railroad crossing, and he's just tapping on the steering wheel for 30 seconds.
That's
really what it is.
Although
I think he's directing them now.
That's a good.
That would be funny if we look at it and it says directed by Matthew McConaughey.
You're like, okay, yes, that makes sense. But enough talking about Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, rom-coms. All right. So I'll go first. We're going to round robin and like we always do. Yes. And we usual just, are you on the bridge or off the bridge? Or, well, now we're not hating things this time around. So,
we can still be on and off the bridge.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to just be quite honest with everybody on this podcast. I'm probably going to be on the bridge for every single romantic comedy.
Yes, because Kenny loves romantic comedies.
I love
you're a softie. This is why I like to cuddle with you.
Yes.
He's a big cuddly bear.
That's why we are bears.
That's right, bears. The bears love to cuddle.
All
we
right.
love the game, and we love to cuddle.
Love the game and cuddle.
So
game at the same time.
Game cuddle.
Oh, my God, the game cuddle. My favorite.
So I'm going to go first. And I'm going to go with, let's see, where do I want to go first?
Oh.
All right, so we're doing three, right? Each
we're
of
doing
us
trees.
Are,
yeah, let's say each of us are doing
in
one,
no particular
or
order, for yes. the most part. I'm going with 51st Dates.
Aha!
Wow.
That
okay,
was on
that,
the list. I knew that you
that
were going to say.
Not on my list.
51st Dates. Yeesh. I absolutely love that movie. I don't give a fuck. Come fight me. I have seen that movie.
So aggro, okay.
I like to start from the top, you know, be aggressive right from the get. Right from the get. Come and troll me. 51st Dates, love it. Their dynamic in that movie is fantastic. I love the concept of the movie of making him fall in love with you all over and over and over and over again because she doesn't remember that she did the first time. I thought he was funny. Adam Sandler can either be passable or not. Like, he doesn't have a middle ground.
Oh, yeah.
Me.
No, he's either...
He's either yeah. funny or he's
I've never seen
funny.
A middle ground.
Yeah, no, he's just, like, nails on chalkboard.
Yeah, it's one or the other, and this movie is one of those movies where, like, I enjoy his performance.
One of the few.
I think it's hilarious that Samwise is this steroid-infused...
Wait, Sean Astin?
Yeah. Sean Astin plays her brother who's got the tank top and he's
fuck.
Also
that is him, yeah.
Oh shit.
And
yeah,
I'll tell you right now, he did that after he did the first Lord of the Rings movie.
That just meant that Sam was swole underneath all that hobbit fat. All the hobbit fat, he was ready to crack fucking Sauron in the mouth.
Yeah, man. Yo. Rudy bro gained some fucking
that's right.
Bulk.
Rudy's football baby.
Yeah. Yeah. So I love that he plays that that he's in that. So minus 51st Dates. I if the movie is on, I will still jump back in. And watch it.
You know, I'm on the bridge with that. I'm not a big fan of it, and I thought it was going to be fucking dog shit. And then I saw it on TV one time, and I was like,
dog shit.
Not bad.
Look
at
it.
Look at it and just,
Yes.
Yes.
Honestly, it's not click. I'm just happy with that.
Oh, yeah. Very few things are click.
Yeah, I know. And but the movie was done.
Click.
Yeah, but
ooh,
if you had to choose between 51st Dates.
Oh, no. Okay. Wait. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but I love the fact that this is still one of the few movies that he still had Rob Schneider.
Yeah.
You know, sprinkle in some of his sprinkle in some of the comedy in there. This is one of those things where he does these movies with his friends, but it works. In this one, it worked well enough that I can enjoy it all the way through.
Do they have, like, some executive's kid, like, stuck in a fucking basement that they keep, that they literally are like, okay, we can do this movie, but all of my friends have to do it or your kid dies. It's like a fucked up song.
Well, for the most part, it's his own company.
It's his own production company. Once you do that, you can do whatever the fuck you want.
That's right. He produces his own shit.
Osimo. He has the Osimo bot inside his basement that just springs out those movies. That's all it does.
They just like AI, like deep AI creations.
Yeah, it's from Software. Idea number 57. Adam Sandler. Good to love with a washcloth. It's just different.
That's just real life.
So that's mine. Bear, what's one of yours?
God, I have so many to fucking choose from here.
Oh my God.
Because it's fucked up because I'm definitely gonna do with this. Episode, and then I'm gonna go home and I'll be like, oh, I forgot about 9 other fucking movies that I love.
That's okay. Everybody else can fill that in.
I'm gonna start with Scott Pilgrim.
Yes,
very nice. I left that off the list on purpose.
Yes,
I
me too.
Fucking love Scott Pilgrim, and that's the funny thing is that, like, you wouldn't necessarily think it's like a romantic comedy, but I actually really like in both the comic and in the movie the relationship between Ramona and Scott because. Especially in the comic where it has more time, they kind of build up because that's over the course of a couple months. Like, you really sort of see how fucked up
young men kind of view idealized women, and then when the women have issues or are like real little fucking human beings,
right?
That, you know, that's that they can't fucking handle that.
Like, I don't know what to do now.
That's why, like, I think it's 500 Days of Summer.
Oh, that's
a
great one.
That's another example of that. But Scott Pilgrim, obviously, like, super fucking over the top.
Oh yeah,
love how it's directed. Love the action in it, and I can go to it over and over again because it's so fucking funny. And Mary Elizabeth Winstead is. Like, it's so embodies Ramona Flowers for me, and, oh, I love it so much.
I came to that movie late. I didn't watch that movie when it came out. I didn't really know about it or anything like that.
My ex-girlfriend, I dragged her to theaters three times to see it.
You will watch this with me?
Well, it was more like, and because it was right around when we started dating, it's like, I'm going to go see this movie. You don't have to come, but I'm going to see it. So she's like, fine, I'll see it. And she was so a pain in the ass, but... Movie's so fucking good.
I came to it late. I didn't watch it, so I've only seen that movie maybe two or three times. But I knew it is a good romantic comedy. It is a good and funny film. I purposely left it out because I knew that you were gonna choose.
Yeah,
I knew that was one of yours.
No, and honestly, it's one of those movies where they don't. It's just enough where you forget sometimes that it's a romantic comedy until they start doing. The cheesiness parts that you know are coming in that are meant to be romantic comedy.
Well, and this movie also introduced me to one of my favorite bands, Metric.
Oh,
yeah.
Black Sheep. That's
yeah.
where I first heard of Metric.
That's true.
And that's, I love that fucking song. And that sequence in the comic is one of my favorite sequences of just introducing Envy and that specific ex and how that pans out. And how they did that in the movie I thought was like really clever and... Brie Larson is fucking
Brie
Envy when
great,
she's
going
to
yeah.
be Captain Marvel. So, yeah, so extra
That's
love
always nice.
Right here in my bare chest.
And I love these. It's the modern romantic comedies that I like. Mm-hmm. The alternative ones that go outside of the box from what is conventional.
Well, they basically took a lot of the old ones, find ways to kind of fuck around with it. And
actually
of,
put a video spin on it.
Yeah.
Video game spin, which is cool. I guess with mine, I want to toss around. I go back and forth. I want to go ahead and pick something that's more modern. When I say modern, I mean something that's a little unconventional. And everybody can agree with me on this. 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Yes.
Oh,
that's not that modern. That's over 10 years old.
No. He means modern in the sense of the way
modern,
that they
told it's the unconventional. Like, this is not how you would... This
I
is
broke
not
Kenny's
a,
heart when I said yeah. that, by the way. I don't know if you heard that sigh.
You heard that? It was my heart
breaking. Old.
What I mean is it was during that time when now all of a sudden romantic comedies didn't have to be... The cut and paste romantic comedy.
Yeah.
Like, this is an unconventional one, literally talking about a guy losing his virginity at the age 40 and how his friends are dicks and how he has to try to deal with the fact that he's a 40-year-old man trying to bust his cherry.
I mean, one of the things about this movie that I love so much, for one, I went into it like, this is not going to be funny. Obviously, like, oh, shit, I was wrong.
Yeah.
But also... It is actually like a really charming romance. Like his relationship with I think Catherine Keener is her name.
Yeah.
Like is actually like really fucking cute on top of like having a really dirty movie on top of it.
Yeah, I actually have to agree with that. I did like, and then I find that unconventional the way that it's told. I like that he goes through that phase of like, should I lose my nerddom? Not my nerddom. Like all of that's going into a different tale of a different romantic comedy because we always see. The traditional perfect couple that's still a romantic comedy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was your not perfect couple.
I love flawed romance because it's that's closer to fucking reality than any of these ideas.
And of course
ones.
It has Jane Lynch in it, which
she's awesome.
I am in love with that lady. She is awesome. I don't think she has done a bad role.
When she's
even a bad movie doesn't mean that her role was bad.
The where she's talking about like, oh, I lost my virginity to my gardener
while
he was
singing
this
song. And
it
she was
still
trying to
fucking
sing
it. Kills me every
and that was
time.
Improvised because literally Steve Carell talks about how the fact that she did that and he's like, that song makes no sense and I want to laugh but I can't because I have to stare at her.
I need to fucking be cute. That's like 90% of that movie is just people fucking like okay, don't break.
Well, it's just that everybody in this movie is fantastic. You have Elizabeth Banks, even though she has a small role in it, she's hilarious. Paul Rudd, like Seth Rogen.
Yeah,
I think that's the first time I saw Seth Rogen. I don't know if that's the first thing that got him big. I think it is, isn't it?
By the way, Stormy Daniels is in this. Just wanted to throw that in there.
Yeah, she is for like a few seconds.
Yeah.
And DDP's ex-wife is
in
this.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And Kevin Hart.
And Kevin, that's right.
And Kevin Hart for a little bit.
Yeah, he's in there for a very
little
bit. But
emphasis on the little.
Oh, hey, we got knee slappers over here.
I got the jokes.
Yeah, shots fired.
I know, right? Kevin Hart's listening to this now.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Yeah, right now. Right now. All right. So, where do I go with my second choice? Where do I go? What do I do? What do I do? So hard. Okay, I'm going to do it.
Do it.
Zach and Miri Make a Porno.
Yes.
Good choice.
I love this. Stay unconventional. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Speaking of Seth Rogen and
the whole Elizabeth Banks. Banks.
You got Justin. Okay. Shut your mouth wrong. Fuck it.
It very much like what you were talking about with some of the movies. Like, I started watching Zach and Miri and I go, this is going to be so bad. So bad and ridiculous, and then I love that fucking movie. And I have a hard time with comedies. I don't necessarily laugh out loud. I can walk away and you would have never known if I actually thought that the movie was funny or not, because I mostly laugh in my head. It's just one of those things. Zach and Miri, I laughed out loud.
Nice.
Like, there was moments where I was just like, oh my god. And that was
the
one of the
frosting
first. Everything. There's just so many aspects. The frosting was hilarious because I remember watching it with V, and the first time it got us, right? It got us both. Of course, it gets everybody, right? You almost know it's going to happen, and then you don't think it's going to happen, and then it happens. But then the second time we were watching it, because I've seen this movie numerous amounts of times, I had to remind V. I was like, don't keep watching!
Yeah.
Don't keep watching!
Turn away, turn away, turn
away! Danger! Danger! You really got your shit covered. Did you ever say shit covered to me again?
It's just such a good movie. Very unconventional. I didn't even know that I was going to like such a combination of Seth Rogen and Elizabeth Banks, because they're even such a weird pairing to
mismatched
begin.
Pairing, yeah.
Such a mismatched pairing. And then for it to go the way that it went with their pairing was just fucking awesome.
I think it was also really strange. This was interesting because I like Kevin Smith a lot. Like, a lot of the stuff that he's done lately hasn't necessarily like resonated with me as much as as much as a lot of his older stuff.
Right.
But like I like him so much because he is the definition of an artist in that like he has a vision and he does not compromise his vision. He will do whatever it takes for his vision. Like, he will undercut the budget to be sure that he gets his vision as much as he can.
Yeah.
And this was sort of him stepping away from, like, the Jay and Silent Bob stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, he was punished for it financially, which sucks because I'm like, oh, no, like, this is a good...
I love that movie.
Yeah.
And that's another one. And again, with me, with these kind of, like, with comedy in that aspect, sometimes I'll only watch it once or twice, and then I've kind of gotten all the jokes, and I'm not going to rewatch it.
Yeah.
This is a rewatchable movie. It's enjoyable. I love it. It's one of those movies. And I think that I also loved it because it shocked me, because I didn't expect it to be.
Well, that helps a lot.
So
yeah.
Well, it was just well written. They ended it good. And with a lot of those kind of movies, it's really that they never stick the landing. The landing stuck. I loved Seth Rogen in it. It was just a really good.
Yeah, nothing like it. And also introduced the Dutch Rudder into my life.
And double Dutch Rudder.
Ooh, the double Dutch Rudder.
But this is another one of those movies where you don't realize that it's actually a romantic comedy until you sit there at the end and go, wow, yeah, all of this just fucking.
All
came,
this to end
just
like
came
with
together.
Them.
He opened like a flower.
All right, Bear, you're up.
Fucking flower, Jesus Christ. Okay, man, so looking at my list here.
Look at your
God.
List!
I have so many to choose from. I'm actually going to go with...
Are you going classic?
I'm going to go with one that has multiple different versions of it. I'm going to go with Much Ado About Nothing, which this goes across the movie versions. This is my favorite Shakespeare comedy. I've loved almost every version of it that I've seen. A lot of people remember the Kenneth Branagh version, that's sort of like the big one that everybody remembers, because it's still the best one. I really like the Joss Whedon one, mostly because it has like 90% of the Avengers cast in it, and that's always fun. also black and white, I like black and white film, and that's a very guerrilla kind of type of movie, and I also kind of like that. But it's just a very classic story. I love the relationship between Beatrice and Benedict, and they have some of the sharpest fucking dialogue in any of Shakespeare's stuff, and those two are all like, you could always find the quality of a production when they're doing Much Ado About Nothing, because if Beatrice and Benedict don't connect, everything falls apart.
Yep.
It also has a version of it that has David Tennant and Catherine Tate, which is the doctor and the fourth companion.
I know who you're talking about.
And yeah, that version is fucking amazing because guess what? They're both Shakespeare nerds.
Yeah.
So they fucking kill it.
I haven't seen that version of it.
Yeah. And the stage actually rotates and everything. Like, it's a really nice.
You just can't go wrong with that. First of all, a classic of a Shakespeare romantic comedy. Yeah. You just can't go wrong with that. I stand on that one with you, sir.
I think we're all standing on this.
I think you guys have seen the original. Yeah. You've seen the Kenneth Branagh one.
Yes.
I think what's so funny is, like, when I talk about, like, Shakespeare movies, that's one of the only ones where people are like, oh, yeah, I saw that one. That one was pretty good. Like that one, like, was a big hit for its time.
I think it was also because it was, hold on. I'm trying to see when it originally came out.
I think it was 93.
Yeah, 1993.
It was 93, right?
Yeah, that's the one that. Yeah, that's the one with Keanu Reeves, Emma Thompson as Beatrice.
Oh my God, that's also where I fell in love with Emma Thompson. I was just like, I want to see her in everything because she fucking just nails that fucking dialogue.
Kate Beckinsale was in that one. Michael Keaton, Denzel Washington. Yeah. So I don't know why. I guess I think it's also because Much Ado About Nothing is not something that a lot of people, regular non-theater-esque people understand that it is like a Shakespeare play sometimes. They don't realize that it is or it isn't. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's not as played out as everything else that is Shakespeare. Yeah. You know, everybody knows Romeo and Juliet. Everybody knows stuff like that, Hamlet and bullshit like that. So when it's much, it feels more fresh. You're like, yeah, I love that. I actually saw that one. I enjoyed that story. It's also so far away from the mainstream of Shakespeare if you're not a theater person. If you're a theater person, everything is mainstream Shakespeare.
You're just like, yeah, of course. Oh, you didn't do Titus Andronicus.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, Kenny, what's up?
Well, I mean, I have actually another Shakespearean play on my list.
Ooh.
And he brought it up. I don't know if I would just want to piggyback off of it.
Do it.
I have 10 Things I Hate About You.
I knew it.
Yes, that was on my list.
Yeah. Taming of the Shrew, man. Yep. Right? That's a great modernization of...
Fantastic modernization of it.
I mean, you can't help but enjoy that. For the sake of enjoying a romantic comedy,
and for those of you who are just listening and we're like, oh my God, 10 Things I Hate About You was a Shakespeare play? Yes.
Yes, it was.
Taming of the fucking Shrew. Yeah, like, beat for beat, the same fucking story.
I say that only because you'd be surprised how many people, when you say something like that, they're like, what? I'm like, think about it. Yeah. That's She's
look
the
up
Shrew.
Look up for She's the Shrew. Somebody gets paid off. Yeah, guy falls in love with her. Yeah,
yeah, man.
Come on. But I wanted to put that disclaimer because you'd be surprised how many people I've actually said that to, and they were like, I didn't know that. I didn't put those two things together.
And Heath Ledger, man. Like, that was the thing I was
That
just
was
like,
the
man.
First movie I saw Heath Ledger in.
And you're just like, fuck, this dude has a fucking future ahead of him.
No, and he did so well in that movie that I think it carried off because there was some... I mean, it is cheesy. I mean, there's parts of that movie that is cheesy, and you're trying to follow the main character, but really it's Heath Ledger that steals the show of that movie. It does it so well that, again, the only reason why I knew it because I saw it in high school, and at that time, they already used that as a
That's Joseph Gordon-Levitt in that movie, too, right?
Yeah.
Fuck, yeah, that movie had a lot of fucking great
You had Joker and fucking Robin in the same fucking movie. Yeah, Grayson.
Spoilers for 10-year-old movies.
Yeah, seriously. But, well, you say cheesy, but at that time, which is like when we were in high school, that was the theme of the movies that came out. Because you had what I have on, I know it's not going to be on any of our list, but it's on like my general list of movies to discuss. It's like things like 10 Things I Hate About You fall within, like, She's All That, Clueless.
Oh, I
like
She's
all
that.
Of that.
I like Clueless.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
But She's All That is kind of like Taming of the Shrew, too, in the sense, yeah.
No. No, because remember, they're building her up. They're like, oh, we're a nerd. All we have to do is take off her glasses and suddenly she's hot.
And change her paint apron.
It's
and,
more
oh,
like,
my God,
wait,
the
what's
most
that,
gorgeous thing in the
what's
world.
What's that Greek play where it's like the person creates it and then the actual creation... Fuck, what's the name? Never mind. Continue on.
Now you're going to be fucking cracking my head now. Yeah. I'm thinking about this.
Trying to think about it.
But that was like the era. And one of the other movies... I'm not saying another movie because it's on... It's what I'm going to say next, but... But that was like the cheesiness was the beautiful aspect of it. But I actually agree with you, Kenny. I think that was the catalyst for Heath Ledger's. Did he do The Night After?
Yes, he did. He did not The Night. What is it called?
Night's Tale.
Night's Tale. Thank you.
He did
you.
Night's Tale a little bit after that. He was a little bit older. I think maybe a year or two in.
I loved that movie.
Year or two in.
See, that's one. It's not bad. It's just very like unremarkable in almost every other.
Honestly, if you enjoy the actual process of filming, like. the aspects of the rules of film, quote unquote, the rules of film, you would enjoy A Knight's Tale because it does follow the rules in the sense of the light shadow.
But it's the most formulaic kind of way of doing it.
Yes, yeah, but it's got it's Jarvis. Bad. No.
Yeah, it has Jarvis,
right?
Yeah.
Right.
And he's fucking... what I liked about him is he's the fucking writer of a book I had to read in fucking... What is it? Chauncey? Doesn't he play like a...
Chaucer?
He plays Chaucer.
I think it's Chaucer that he
plays.
Yeah,
and he's writing the stories that are later on in his book. But I fell in love with Shannon Sossaman in...
I don't...
Yeah. Oh, I'm gonna. Oh, I'm gonna.
She's the main. Oh, she's the love interest.
Have she's this girl.
Oh yeah. Shit! Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
If anything, everybody, please go on
right now.
Take a moment and just check it up on Google.
Google,
you'll know
who
that is.
Just so that you know how to spell her name, it's Shannyn Sossaman. Sossaman.
Here's the problem. I don't remember her in too many other films after that.
She did another one of my favorite movies with James Vanderbeek. I don't want your movie. What was the fucking name?
I don't want your life.
I don't want your life.
Now I can't remember, but it's a movie that...
It's about football bullshit.
No,
it's not. It's not Varsity Blues.
That's not what I'm thinking of.
Yeah,
no,
but
that's,
she's not
that's,
in Varsity
I'm not
Blues.
Talking about... No, she's not in... The Rules of Attraction.
Okay,
she
rules
was in
of
Rules
attraction.
Of Attraction. Which is she was in 40 Days and 40 Nights. She's the girl.
Okay.
She's a girl in 40 Days and 40 Nights.
Okay.
She's in Kiss Bang Bang.
Okay.
Oh, she's... Oh, yes, she is. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you're welcome, guys. So.
Yeah, I was too busy looking at Bridget Monaghan in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. I'm sorry.
But yes, I would tell you 10 Things I Hate About You if you want to go back into 90s filming for Shakespeare, by all means. Well, no, early 2000, forgive me. Go ahead and watch that movie. It's actually a decent film.
Yeah, when they later on did It wasn't as good. It wasn't as good.
I wanted it to be good. Yeah. Othello is my favorite Shakespeare play.
Is
so,
it really?
Oh,
okay.
I fucking love Othello. So I was like, I was really hoping it'd be good, and it was okay. It was
interesting.
Okay.
My favorite would have to probably be The Merchant of Venice.
That's a good choice.
Yeah.
Get your pound of flesh, huh?
So, all right. So,
are we going to our top right now?
I'm going to my top right now. I'm going to hit it up with my top.
Mm-hmm.
So, my top. For me,
top.
It didn't come to me right away. It came to me after I was like thinking about movies and writing all of these things down. And then when I read the title of this movie while I was doing my research, every nostalgic memory came back and flooded my soul. And I was like, this is the one. And that for me is Can't Hardly Wait.
Really? That's not what I expected at all.
I didn't think you were going to say Can't Hardly Wait.
I expected Eternal Sunshine.
Because I don't think that's a comedy.
Oh,
that's not a rom-com.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't find that a comedy.
Oh, no, it could technically be a dark comedy.
It's a dark... That's why I felt it was a dark comedy.
But I don't even think...
There's way more sorrow in it.
There's way more sorrow in it. So if we were talking about...
Twisted romance?
Fucking for sure, Eternal Sunshine for the Spotless Mind. Like, there's just no doubts about it. But for romantic comedies, and it was close, because there's another movie that I'll talk about afterwards when we all go through our tops. But for me, it's Can't Hardly Wait.
That's a good one, yeah.
Can't Hardly Wait just...
That's the party in the house party.
That's the one where he's been waiting for the graduation party
to give her
this letter.
Yes, yes.
It's Ethan Hawke, I believe. No, not Ethan Hawke. Fucking goddamn it!
Not Ethan Hunt, because that's fucking. what's this? A Mission Impossible.
That's Rachel Lee Cook, I believe.
No, you're okay.
I'm thinking of another movie.
You're thinking of a whole other... This is Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Oh, yes.
And Ethan Embry. I was right about
Ethan
his first
Embry,
name.
You were close.
Seth Green. This is the one where Seth Green fucks in the bathroom.
Kenny.
Yes.
And his name is Kenny.
Yes.
And he ends up with the rocker chick that they break up like 8,000 times throughout
the
entire fucking
Denise.
Thing. Yes, her
oh,
name
God.
Is Denise.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, exactly.
I absolutely love this movie. I loved it for Ethan Embry's cheesy... hopeless romantic I'm in love with the hottest girl in the school and I really think that I have a chance, and like it is your typical at the time written theme of a romantic comedy, but I thought that it executed it perfectly.
And it's one of those movies that like is a from a specific time period.
Yes.
There are certain movies that you look at and you're like, oh, like this represents the 70s, this represents the 60s,
this was the
this 90s. Feels so
straight
much like
90s.
The fucking 90s.
In fact, I believe wasn't that the first movie that did the slow motion walk. Everybody, look, she's here. Oh, slow motion with my head.
That has to have existed before. That's too.
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
and then, but every movie that year did it. Yeah. She's All That Did It, where you have the slow pan of her walking down the steps in the red fucking dress, and it was the theme.
I think everybody, every movie I think at that time did that, yeah.
But yeah, Jennifer Love Hewitt was great in this. Whatever happened to her?
Jennifer Love Hewitt?
What is she doing right
now? She started a family.
She did a show called The List, The Blacklist. Not The Blacklist. It's called The List, where it's all, she runs
client
a whorehouse.
There you go.
She runs a whorehouse, and then she... Oh. You know.
That's the last thing she did.
Yeah, I think that was
from
the last thing
from
she did.
From what I see here, that was from... It was only for 1 year, so that was...
never mind.
That was done. I was done. She,
a very
I'm,
short list.
I'm about to say some...
That list was short.
Listen, I should have known then that I was going to realize that I was super gay, because her tits
were fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
The only thing that was more amazing during that time was Jessica Alba in fucking Idle Hands. Ooh. Yeah, exactly.
Yes, yes.
But they're two totally different body figures.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But her boobs, when she did I Know What You Did Last Summer and is jumping and spinning outside in the middle of the street, what do you want from me? I want a lot of things, lady.
I want you to keep jumping. That's I need you to
keep
gravity
jumping.
Proving.
What do you want from me?
Twirl again. So that's my sexist comment for the night.
The one where all of us are like, yeah.
Yeah, so, all right, that was my top.
My favorite's Wally.
Top.
Wally.
Wally.
Yeah, Wally's my favorite. Yeah, Wally's my favorite.
Romantic comedy.
It is
straight
so
up
good.
A fucking romantic comedy. It is.
Yeah, it is.
And it's
unconventional. I love
it. So fucking unconventional. Even though, like, it would have been better served as just, like, a completely silent movie. Like, it does everything it needs to be able to fill in just the action parts. And the relationship between two robots, again, whenever good science fiction makes you reflect humanity back at itself.
Right.
And this is the best example of that. And the way how Wally is so devoted to Eve, it's so fucking adorable. Like, I have seen Wally so many goddamn fucking times.
I know you have. I know you have.
Yeah.
That's a good one, though.
No, that's
that is
a great
one.
Honestly, and I know we touched a lot more on it last episode.
I can't think of another thing, another romantic comedy that I like more than Wally. There's a bunch I like,
right.
But I love Wally.
I mean, I'm having a tough decision on picking a tippity top top. The reason why is because I have one unconventional, I have one classic, and I have one that's in the 90s.
That's why I went with emotional attachment.
And so if I go with emotional attachment, I'm just going to go ahead and say the one that no matter what, one, it reminds me so much of me at a period of my life, just not as extreme as what happened to this guy, Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Oh, yep. It was on my...
That's a good one.
Yeah, that is a good
Forgetting
one.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall, oh my God, I feel so bad for Jason Segel throughout that whole entire fucking movie.
That movie is hard to watch because it's like the levels
it's
of
great.
Awkward. No, it's great, but it's so awkward.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Like, it reminds me of Bridesmaid.
Now, here's the thing.
That one's,
ooh, yeah.
That one's
now, here's
awkward.
The thing. I can only... Now, I watched this movie and I use part of my memory to watch the movie. And the reason why is because there's times, and Q can attest to this, that whenever I watch something that makes me feel embarrassed,
oh, yeah.
I can't watch
yeah.
the
no,
screen. Like, I feel embarrassed for that guy.
Yeah.
It hurts so bad. Especially the scene when there's a scene when he's literally just trying to eat dinner, and then he comes up from behind and starts singing that stupid song Inside of You. And I'm sitting there going, oh God.
No.
It's hilarious, but no.
No,
dear
so
God,
bad.
Stop. Oh, and I love it.
Yeah,
he goes,
that's
what
a good
is it?
One.
Die, I can't.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
But
I love that.
That's another one that I love Paul Rudd in.
Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd. He's
God,
the fucking.
He's so
Paul
funny.
Rudd's the best. He's
one of my
fantastic.
Favorite nonsensical lines. The weather outside is weather. Comes from that movie. I love it. That's awesome. So, yeah, that's my tippity top.
Since we were talking about movies in a specific era, this isn't... Okay, so you had a split for me. There was, like, a split in the 90s, right? Mm-hmm. So you had later 90s, which is what we're kind of talking about, like, Can't Hardly Wait, She's All That, She's Out of My League.
She's Out of My League. That was on my list that I didn't say.
Never saw that one.
Really?
Great.
Okay.
You should watch it. You would like it very much.
Yeah, it's actually really good. So you had that era, which was, like, later 90s, and then you had the earlier 90s, which is... I had...
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, the big one, yeah.
Yeah, so you have your Sleepless in Seattle.
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
I had that on my list.
She's
Got Mail.
She's Got Mail.
Meg Ryan, period.
Meg Ryan. Well, yeah.
Meg
Any
Ryan
Meg and
Ryan
Tom
in
Hanks,
the 90s.
Yeah.
Both, right? Well, she did, what was it, the one? What the
Harry Met Sally.
Harry Met Sally, which is a classic, but everybody knows that, so it's not on our lists.
Yeah.
I happen to have loved in this era, which is not one that most people usually talk about, but for me in that era, I loved One Fine Day.
Which is that
one? One Fine Day.
That is George Clooney and Michelle Pfeiffer.
George Clooney and Michelle Pfeiffer. That's not Batman.
No.
That's not Batman.
Huh.
they meet by accidentally. I can't even remember how they meet. It has something to do with their kids. Like, they're each single parents and running around with their kids, and they end up having to partner up because I think they're both on the same soccer team or something like that. I guess it's just one of those that I just constantly watched when I was younger. My mom must have really fucking liked that one. I don't know. Another one on our list that we didn't talk about, Wedding Singer.
Yes, it's on my list, and I didn't say it because I honestly thought one of you guys was going to bring it up.
I didn't because, for me, out of all of the Adam Sandler, Drew Barrymore movies, 51st Dates is better for me.
Somebody kill me, please.
I have, if you want to go a little bit further, well, if you want to go 90s, also a Bridget Jones Diary.
Bridget Jones Diary is a very
watchable.
Jerry Maguire.
Splash, if you want to go a little bit further.
Splash
is early. That's 80s.
Yeah.
Actually, I have one. I have a slightly obscurish one from the 90s, late 90s, Empire Records. That's one.
Oh, yeah. Of course, definitely.
Oh, yeah. That's
that was when Renee Zellweger, one of the few times that she actually looked hot to me.
Liv Tyler. Jesus Christ.
Liv Tyler, yeah, man. That was the first time I saw Liv Tyler was in Empire Records.
Tyler, moment of silence for my thoughts of Liv Tyler. Okay.
So yeah, you're good. We're good.
So hot. I was so into her.
And especially fucking Empire Records.
But 90s also had
High Fidelity.
But also had the older comedies as well, older rom coms. And what I mean by older, I'm talking about First Wives Club. I'm talking about one of my favorites. One of my favorites. Something's Got to Give is another one that also has Diane Keaton and crazy fucking madman from The Shining. I always forget his name.
Jack Nicholson.
Great pairing. It's ridiculous how good they are.
I will go ahead and mention one that I still think is such a great, great movie, and that is As Good As It Gets.
Yes.
That's great.
Yes.
Yo, such
again,
a good...
Again, this these motherfuckers doing the same movie, just in a different style. That's all it is.
But it was done really well. Now, one that I had to question whether or not it was going to make my three is Just Married. I don't care what anybody says. Ashton Kutcher getting hit in the head with a 15-pound ashtray is fucking amazing. And I like
it. You just like it for that.
You just like it because of the 15-pound
ashtray. You
want to
know what I liked it? I liked
face.
It because it's a couple on their honeymoon and everything goes to shit, which is accurate sometimes.
Oh, 40 Days and 40 Nights.
That's a great one.
That's not bad.
40 Days and 40 Nights is a good one.
But yeah, so Just Married.
Oh, we didn't even talk
favorite.
About classics. Like, I'm talking about Princess Bride.
Wow.
Yeah, we didn't
none
even
of us
bring
said,
it up.
None of us
and I didn't bring
Princess
it up
Bride.
Only because... Again, it's one of those, by the way, rest in peace, Andre the Giant. But yes, yeah, I know. But Princess Bride is always a classic. And that's the thing. It's a classic. So we're not going to – I really didn't want to bring up a
classic.
No.
I mean, we
Sabrina,
can go back,
you want to go
no.
even further back. Yeah. I love Humphrey Bogart.
Now, here's – I have a question for you guys. I have two questions for you guys. One, on all of the lists when I was doing my research, of like everybody puts this one particular movie on there. And I don't necessarily find it a romantic comedy as much as I find it a more twisted love movie. And that, for me, is Silver Linings Playbook.
I haven't seen it.
Silver Linings Playbook. Okay, I get why they did that as a romantic comedy, because technically it is. The book does not go so much into depth on what they did in the movie.
No, but I still find it, like, I know why it's, but it's, for me, it's still darker comedy. If you're going to laugh at it, it's darker comedy. But I even still think that it touches more, less comedy, more... dark substance. You have a guy, regardless of the book, I read the book, and the book was obviously not a romantic comedy. It has comedic moments, but there's a lot of movies that do that.
But it's quite a bit. But it has
you
quite
told
a few.
Me, yes, you've told me about the. Yeah,
it
yeah.
has
like,
quite a few comedic moments, especially the ending when they are all happy to get a. I am ruining the movie for everybody.
No. Still, that's not. I still, for me personally, I don't
and
find it a beat to
I,
be.
Well, I guess Robert De Niro's character was supposed to be the anchor for the comedy because he's really just throwing out the stupid fucking lines to make you laugh.
Well, I mean, he's also crazy.
Yeah,
but that's what I'm saying. It's like it's a movie about three people with different mental illnesses, and yes, it is a love story of sorts, and not really.
Yeah.
But so I just found it weird that it was on that list. Now, what I wanted to ask you guys, think hard on this one. We're going to play some Jeopardy music or something. Right?
All right.
Yeah. What romantic comedy tried so hard and then failed?
And then failed horribly? The Vow. Right off the bat.
Wow. Holy shit.
Fucking movie. I hate that movie.
Wait, but we talked about that in
yes,
the...
Yes, we did. Yeah. I'm just going to... Besides that one.
Probably... Oh, wait. If you... well, is it a romantic... No, it's not a romantic comedy, but Friends with Benefits.
Friends with Benefits tried.
They wait, tried. There were two movies. There were two movies.
Justin Timberlake and Mila Kunis.
Yes.
I'm sorry. The hotness on that screen alone made
yeah,
it okay.
Well, no, no. Yeah, that's what you would think. And it's just fucking cold.
That's just what you would
it's
think.
It's just cold. Like, it's just like, there's no fucking here.
I actually preferred that one to the Ashton Kutcher, Natalie Portman one.
They were both not good. Both of them were not great. Like, these are hot people. They're fucking, it should be great. Why am I bored?
Actually, you know what? One that I really thought was going to be good. I went into it thinking this is going to be a good romantic comedy, and it ended up not being. Just Friends.
That's the other one. That's the one I was talking about.
Yeah, Just Friends.
Yeah, the one with Ashton Kutcher and Natalie Portman.
No, this one's not. Just Friends is not Ashton Kutcher and Natalie Portman. Just Friends is with Ryan Reynolds and
Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
Did they do three?
No,
fucking
that's a proposal.
No, that's a proposal.
Okay, but did they do three Friends with Benefits movies in one fucking year?
Yeah, because those two came
Jesus.
Out the same fucking
this one,
year.
What just, a horny fucking
yeah,
year!
Ryan Reynolds plays a character where he used to be fat in high school, fell in love with his sweetheart in high school. She told him we're just friends. He becomes a big star producer.
Right.
Loses all that weight. Comes back to his Bodunk town and runs into his high school love, his high school crush. And he tries to get with her while having this chick, I can't remember her name from Scary Movie, trying to have
like
sex with him on a constant basis.
I mean... That threw me for a loop. I'm like, if she's remembered for a Scary Movie, ooh, that's not a great career.
Yeah, that isn't a great career.
She did House Bunny. She did.
Oh, you're talking about Chris Pratt's ex-wife.
Yes.
Anna Faris?
Anna yeah. Faris is in that movie.
You. What?
Oh,
Scary Movie? You remember Anna Faris because of Scary Movie.
That was her first movie that I remember in.
That's a weird pull. Okay.
That's the first movie she
no,
was
no,
in.
No, I know, but like, there's so many other things. Like,
and I don't normally do this in Kenny's defense. He said Scary Movie, and I immediately knew that he was talking about Anna Faris.
Holy shit, how the fuck? What the fuck?
Like, I already went, I think I know who he's talking about.
I think it's Anna Faris, fuck.
But okay. Yeah, so even with Anna Faris bringing the actual, she becomes like a very extreme version of Britney Spears in this movie, where she just is ditzy. Like, she's Britney Spears and Jessica Simpson. If they were both also retarded, that's pretty much what her character is.
Shit.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And because
that's
she
aggressively dumb.
That was.
Yeah.
That
the
was,
plane.
Yeah.
The plane. They had to take down the plane because she put aluminum foil in the microwave, thinking that it was microwavable.
Oh my God.
And then she thought she was punked because that happened. The plane came down. Whatever. It was stupid. Just don't watch it. I wouldn't tell you. It tried a lot, and it just didn't work out.
So for me, there's a few that make my. It didn't make it right. That was
it
a good movie. I'm sorry. I'm having a really hard time agreeing
you
with
gotta,
this
yeah,
list.
You gotta toss some stuff at me because
okay,
yeah,
because they have a bunch of movies here that I actually don't agree that these are shit movies. But okay, I don't. I really don't. Like they have.
Say
I'm
it.
Not even. Okay,
say
so,
it. Why not? Fuck
all
them.
Right, on this, I'm not saying that they're great movies, but
they're
definitely don't make shit movies. And for me, that is. They have all of J-Lo's romantic comedies here. And
oh,
I,
those are bad.
No.
Nope.
I need you to stop.
Nope.
Stop right there, Pedro. You need to watch Monster in Law.
Yes. And they have it here.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
It's
yes,
good.
You do.
I
got so
it's
many
it's
a great movie.
Yeah,
I
have
like
one life.
Movie.
I have one life. I don't need
I feel
it's
like
a great
you
movie.
Know what? I actually may feel like Pedro made this list. They have every single J-Lo movie she ever made, which I actually...
Does it have Ben Affleck in any of those movies?
Yes.
Of course.
And this one I agree with. Geely was a
horrible movie. Yes, it was.
And then they have every romantic comedy that ever had fucking
Will Smith?
No.
Damn. Damn it.
Jennifer Aniston, which
yeah,
I don't
right.
agree
yeah.
with.
Yeah.
No, I thought the breakup was funny.
Breakup yeah. wasn't bad.
Break up the movie and tear it up and put it in the trash.
The breakup wasn't that bad.
Along Came Polly was hilarious.
Along Came Polly wasn't that bad.
Along Came this garbage.
Along Came These.
Wanderlust was not okay.
Wander These.
The Switch was funny. I love Jason Bateman.
Switch was something better.
Meet the Millers was funny.
Meet These.
No, but I don't agree with you, sir. I do not agree with you. Now, and they have
nice
the Vow here.
These.
They have. I can't believe you hate the Vow so bad.
I hate the Vow. I walked out of the movie.
But are you mad because of how it ended?
No, I didn't watch the ending. That's how bad it was to me.
Oh. Kenny doesn't normally get this passionate about his hate, so I'm very curious.
Okay, so I agree with... Okay, we were also talking about bad Adam Sandler movies. Jack and Jill is a
horrible... Oh, no, that's horrid. Oh, that's horrid. That's bad to the point that no one talks about that movie ever.
That's like Al Pacino finally dropped it. Oh, no.
She's
broken.
I'm broken because I'm watched on here, right, that has a 4% on Rotten Tomatoes, which okay. I don't blame them. It has Ellen DeGeneres in it, and it's called Mr. Wrong. I'm sure that movie.
Oh, man. Wow. That didn't age well. Ellen's like, yeah, very wrong.
You know what? You want to know something? No one ever talks about that movie.
Nobody does.
Ellen.
Nobody does. And apparently there's a romantic comedy, which I have not seen, called Daddy's Little Girls. And I don't think any romantic comedy should ever have that title.
No.
Apparently this movie came out recently called Blockers.
Cock Blockers.
Cock Blockers.
Well, no, it's called on the paper.
It's
called Blockers.
Yeah,
it's Seth Rogen's movie. It's
well, I know
theaters
that
now.
All I know is that John Cena is.
Yes,
it. That's
yeah,
the only
yeah.
thing.
It's called Cock Blockers, but they can't say cock on TV.
Yeah, they put the
rooster
okay,
and the
cool.
blockers.
Yeah, but it's actually called Cock Blockers.
Okay, so
yeah.
It's called Cock Blockers. I heard it's actually like surprisingly funny.
Yeah, I've actually heard
because it's outlandish funny.
But
yeah.
It's outlandish, but it's actually like good. It's actually like people are like, it's actually meh.
It's what it's meh. Yeah, but meh. It's not a romantic comedy.
No, it's not.
I mean, romance if you want to get some dick. You know?
Honestly, this is John Cena's platform now to push himself because after Trainwreck, he realized what he's good at, and it's comedy.
Comedy. He's a fucking great.
He's really
he's
good
really
at comedy,
good
so
comedy.
That, they're just gonna keep pushing him to do that.
Oh Lord! All right, guys. So that was our. Oh my God.
Wait, hold a sec. We get the. There's a few out there that are that my honorable mentions. Bridesmaids, honorable mention.
That's good.
Right? I want to say she's out of my league. Wedding Crashers to me was another honorable mention.
You see, and I don't consider Bridesmaids a romantic comedy.
And Wedding Crashers is only good for half of it. And the part of it the part of it that was good was the non-romantic part of it.
I don't consider Bridesmaids a romantic comedy because the romance was already there. They're getting married. You're not following somebody, following... I mean, and I know...
No,
I mean,
it's not getting married.
No, Kristen Wiig's character with the cop and all of that, but I don't know. I know you're right, but I didn't consider it because I love Bridesmaids, but for me, I don't know why I see it more as a like a chick flick. More of a like girls
that's
all power.
That's a dirty ass chick flick.
No, I love it though.
But
that's
I would assume that's how me and my chick friends would do some scrape, except with the fact of shitting in this. I mean, but again,
she's doing it.
No. Yeah.
Yep.
But I
she's
also
doing it
know
on the street.
A handful of my friends that would do that. So yeah.
You're like, not impossible.
Not impossible.
Oh my God, it feels like lava.
Oh my God. So yeah. So
yes, anyway, sorry.
You guys let us know. Do you think that Silver Linings Playbook actually is a romantic comedy? Do you feel that? Do you disagree that all the movies having to do with friends with benefits is
pretty bad?
Is bullshit.
Yep.
And tell us what you think about Soshana, because I again just look her up.
Soshana.
Just look her up.
Take a moment.
Until next time, guys, thank you for tuning in to The Talking Geek. You can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, online, at The Talking Geek. I am Q, and you can follow me at QFindor on IG.
This is Pedro Cortez. You can follow me on Instagram at Gurren Lagann like the anime, and on Twitter at Pedro Cortez Get. That's Cortez with an S, not a Z. No Zs.
And when you do follow him, be sure to know that his actual name on Twitter is not Pedro Cortez. It is instead.
I said Pedro Cortez Gat.
No. What's your actual name on there?
Oh, like Sleeve McDykel.
I love it.
Yeah, my name is Sleeve McDykel. I'm a famous baseball player in an obscure Japanese game.
It's great because every time I look at my phone, it says, in case you missed it, Sleeze
McDykel.
That's why I said that, because I was saying, the first time that happened,
remind me to show you the list of the ridiculous-ass names from that game. It's pretty fucking great.
You can find me on Twitter.
Where can we find you, Kenny?
Twitter or Instagram, under the name Mr. Underscore, with the underscore in between each word. That is Mr. Underscore, under, underscore, score, underscore.
It would be better if you started with an underscore.
I know.
Send them hate mail, guys.
Send me all of your hate.
Until next time, guys.
Keep up. with you all night. All night. All night. All night. What can I say? I stay up to prove. I say I stay up.